Okay, we're picking up with the Gemara on Chaf Gimel Amud Aleph. We are three lines from the top with the Gemara. We had mentioned in the Mishnah a few different dinim. The first is that if you do a sukkah, barosh hagala, barosh hasfina, that's going to be kshira. So the Gemara now wonders, mani masnisin, who is the author of this Mishnah? That a sukkah built on top of the ship is going to be kosher. So the Gemara answers, Rabbi Akiva here. It is the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. Desan, as we learn in a brisa, ha'osa sukkasa barosh hasfina. Someone makes his sukkah on top of a ship. Rabbi Gamliel posts, Rabbi Gamliel says that it's pasul. Rabbi Akiva Machshir, Rabbi Akiva says that it's going to be kosher. The Gemara is going to explain their machlokes. Rabbi Akiva. So now the Gemara just mentions there was a story. The Brisa mentions there was a story once that Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Gamliel were together. Sheban, but sooner they were traveling on a ship during Sukkot. But we have a few Meisim that they were traveling on a ship because Rabbi Akiva used to go back and forth to Rome to advocate on behalf of the Jewish people. Rabbi Akiva v'asa sukkah berosh hasfina. Rabbi Akiva rose and made a sukkah and he made it on top of the ship. So he made his sukkah over there, and apparently that was the only place where he could make the sukkah. Obviously, meaning if he had another option to put it in a more protected place, l'chora he would have done that. So that was apparently the only place they had opened to make a sukkah. L'machar nashva ruach v'akar. So the next day, wind blew and it knocked down the sukkah. Amar l'Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Gamliel said to him, Akiva, heichan sukkasech. Rabbi Akiva is like, you know, like mocking me a little bit. He's saying like, where's your sukkah? Meaning that l'chora clearly you would agree that this sukkah is pasul because it's not in an area which can withstand this wind and therefore should for sure be pasul. So our mishnah, which apparently this brisa, which Rabbi Akiva says you're allowed to build it there, and he did it. That was our Mishnah is following the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. So now the Gemara wants to flesh out the machlokas between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Gamliel. So the Gemara says, Amar Abaye, Dekuli Alma, both Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Akiva are going to agree that Hecha de'ena yachol amod beruach mitzuya de'yabasha. In a case where the sukkah is so weak that it can't withstand even a normal wind, lo klumi, it's not going to be kosher at all. And a sukkah that's so weak, and that's in that case, it's so flimsy. So then it's going to be not even a diras arai, and it's even less than that. Therefore, it's not even kosher to be a sukkah. Yechola amar b'she'ena metzuya da'basha. However, if it's able to, it's so strong and it can withstand even a ruach she'ena metzuya, ruach not a hurricane, but the really really strong winds. So then Nebuch in Eretz Yisrael. 2 years ago, there was crazy winds in the north, and it destroyed like so many sukkahs up north. I think it was on the first night of Sukkot, and they asked whether that was a simin ra, and that was the year of Corona. I was thinking in my head that the whole time, that lechor maybe it was a simin ra. Anyway, kuli alma lo pligi de kshira. So everyone agrees that if it's able to withstand a very strong wind, then it's clearly going to be kosher because it's sturdy enough to tamamish diras keva. Everyone should agree that that's kosher. So ki pligi, when do Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Akiva argue? Biyachol al amod beruach matzia da basha. They argue in a case where it can withstand a normal wind. It can withstand a normal wind in the land. Ve'ena yachol al amod beruach she'ena matzia da basha. But it can't withstand an unusual land wind. So in that case, meaning, so ruach, it's a ruach, it's able to withstand a ruach metzia in the situation of a yabasha, but right now you're not in the yabasha. Right now we know that, you know, everyone who goes to the beach, I was just by the beach recently, the beach is very, very strong winds. So there, that's the ruach metzia by a beach would be a ruach she'ena metzia by outside of the beach, outside of the waters. So that's the case over here as well. So that's machlokas, where it's ruach she'ena metzia normally, but here it's ruach metzia because you're on a ship, so that's machlokas over here. Magamliel savar sukkah diras keva, but Magamliel says that we require a permanent structure. We've seen his lishitoso in a few places. They came into ene achola amad beruach metzuya dayam, and since the sukkah cannot withstand a normal sea wind, so then lo klumi, it's not going to be kosher. It's going to be pasul. That is the opinion of Rabbi Gamliel. Rabbi Kiva savar sukkah diras arai bainan. Rabbi Kiva says the sukkah is temporary structure. Vekevan diachola amad beruach metzia deabasha. Since the sukkah is able to withstand a normal wind in a normal circumstance, then this sukkah is also going to be kshira. That is the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. I think it's important to note, I know it comes up a little bit more on daf chavdale, but I figure over here, since it's a little shorter daf, I can mention halacha l'maisa. And that is that this halacha of the sukkah that's not able to withstand the wind is not just the din of sukkah, but it's also the din of mechitzos as well. As the Shulchan Aruch Tafri Shlamin says, also because I've been alone, so you know, Stefano Slam, Ayu Chazakim, Moshe Kosher, Mechizik Osam, Shulchan Ruach Metzia, Menido Osam Tamid, then it's going to be good. If the Ruach Metzia is able to move the walls even, that is going to be a major problem. As the Mishnah Berurah in Sifkatan Memchah spells out, well, to Lomar, if these walls are walls which do They do blow in the wind back and forth. They don't even have to fall down. The sukkah doesn't have to fall down. The walls don't have to fall down, but they'll sway back and forth during on a normal wind. Then they would no longer be called the halacha mechitza. Then you don't have halachic walls of the sukkah. If you don't have halachic walls of the sukkah, your sukkah is puzzle, saying the Mishnah. Let's say your sukkah is behind a house that is very tall, so there's not so much wind in the specific area where sukkah is. This Mishnah doesn't matter because these fundamentally are walls which cannot withstand a wind that is a normal wind, and that would be pasul lekuleyam over here. Bein Rav Gamliel, Bein Rabbi Akiva are going to agree that such a situation would be a major issue, and that is the opinion of the Mishnah Berurah. So the Chazon Ish does have a certain kulas to this. The Chazon Ish says that if it sways less than three tfachim, so then you'll have the din of lavud. So if it sways less than around 10 inches, 11 inches, then you might not necessarily have an issue there. Even that though is not so posh. The Chazon Ish is kula to extend that kula, and that's a very big shiloh over here. So what people do, and is really, it's like maker din, is very much not like just a recommendation, but something you have to do if you have a candle's wall, is to tie it down that doesn't sway back and forth. If it sways back and forth, Rav Avadia quotes that even if it sways at all less than the three tefachim, he quotes shitas that should be machmir. So Lamaisa, if it sways at all, we really try to avoid it by tying down these walls so that they don't sway. They won't sway up to 10 inches. And even with the Chazon Ish's kula, so you make sure it's not going to do that. Another etza, I think a lot of people do this as well, based on the Mishnah Lachos quotes this etza, is that you have strings on the edges of the canvas that you tie them very securely, and therefore you put each one within three tefachim. The other one you'll have lavud, and that will be your 10 tefachim lavud. A lot of people do that as well. They'll give you them in the canvas walls. They'll give you the lavud strings, and that's an extra chumra that you make sure that those are tied into the ground. Because also there's another issue that Rav Moshe was choshish for, that maybe you're afraid that the plugs that you're sticking in the ground will fall out, in which case then your mechitzas are going to be pasul. So that's another issue. So to avoid that, also they suggest using these. The lavud strings, you put them around your sukkah, you do three different strings within 10 tefachim of each other, and that's your halachic wall. In addition, people don't realize that your canvas wall is not your wall, b'chlal, halachically. It's not going to help you. But the lavud strings are, that is your halachic wall of 10 tefachim. Okay, that is an important note based on the Gemara over here. Everyone who has this canvas string should be careful to make sure that they're tied down properly. And also, if you have the lavud strings, they're even better to do both of that. Why not? L'chachila. Okay, now the Mishnah continues. Mishnah continues, oh, agabe gam. That if you have the sukkah on the top of the back of a camel, that is going to be kosher. So the Gemara says, "Must this money? Who is the author of our Mishnah? Remeir, it must be the sheet of Remeir. The Sani Remeir tells us, if someone makes a sukkah on the top, on the back of an animal, so then Remeir says, Machshir. Remeir says it's kosher. Rabbi Yehuda pulls. Rabbi Yehuda says that it's pasul. So the Gemara asks, my time at Rabbi Yehuda, what is the reasoning of Rabbi Yehuda? Why is it pasul? Amar Kra, it's pasul because Chag HaSukkos Tasel HaShivasim. The pasuk says you should make sukkos. It should be for these sukkos should be for you for 7 days. So you make these for 7 days, and so says the drasha. Now sukkah ruil shiva sukkah. The sukkah needs to be for you 7 days. It needs to be a kosher sukkah for you for 7 days. Sukkah she'ener shiva loshma sukkah. Sukkah that's not fit for usage all 7 days are not going to be kosher. The 7 days means that a sukkah has to be potentially useful for you 7 days. It doesn't mean that you actually have to have your sukkah for 7 days of sukkah. You decide to take your sukkah down. You're in an area, a hotel or somewhere, that they have to take it down on the 3rd day of sukkah. Your sukkah is possible. No, it just means that the sukkah doesn't have something in it, minei ubed, a defect within it that makes it unusable for the 7 days. And here you do. Here you have something that's in an area which you're not allowed to use it on Shabbos or Yantiv. And therefore, this sukkah is going to be possible according to Rabbi Yehuda, since you can't use it, even though this is a din d'rabbanan. Apparently, the fact that the Rabbanan had said that you can't use it, then it's going to be even on a level of deraisa somewhat, that it's going to be puzzle, because this is drasha deraisa, that's the shaila over here. The drasha deraisa says chag hashivas, but that's what Remeir is going to come to argue. Remeir, what is Remeir going to say? He's going to say, hanami de deraisa mechaze chazia. This is all din derabanan that you can't go on a tree on Shabbos, and can't go on a tree on Yantif. So this is all muksa midarabanan. So midaraisa, you're allowed to go up the tree and go onto your sukkah. So therefore, midaraisa, it's good, rabbanan de gazruba, and therefore, midaraisa, the fact, you can't assume that the fact that derabanan say that you can't go on it is a psul midaraisa, and therefore, the din derabanan is not going to affect the fact that the sukkah is valid all 7 days, and that's why Rabbi Meir says that it's kosher. So our Mishnah apparently that says that this tree, that the sukkah on the tree is kosher, is the following the shita of Rabbi Meir over that of Rabbi Yehuda. It's a fascinating din when it comes to dinim derabanan. They have a chalos on a deraisa. Here we see that there's definitely a din derabanan that has a chalos of a deraisa according to Rabbi Yehuda. That we have that many times where dinim derabanan can affect dinim deraisa and change drushes midaraisa. There's two mechanisms that usually will be like that. One is that there's a concept called masrana kasuv lechachamim, that the chacham has the ability to interpret something like benching. All we assume all three brachas and the nusach of the brachas are deraisa, but is that really true? Maybe just the three things, the Gemara says that you have to mention bris, Torah, right? Different things that you have to mention in the bracha. Maybe the nusach bracha itself is not all midaraisa, yet you have to go back and say all three brachas if a person has a suffik bracha and he ate a shir of a daraisa, suffik daraisa l'chumra. Why is that? Because we assume that masr nakaz l'chachamim, maybe the chachamim have the ability to establish what does it mean, birachta. Birachta means these three brachas. That's how you say birachta. That's how you bench. So that could be where masr nakaz l'chachamim, also masr nakaz l'chachamim, what is the sukkah that's right for 7 days? The Rabbanan have the ability to tell you that this sukkah is not available for 7 days. Similar halacha by Chol HaMoed. There's machlokas Rishonim, whether machlokas on a pasuk and based on the Gemara, whether or not Chol HaMoed is an Isser D'Oraisa, Isser D'Rabbanan to do malacha. So if you assume that it's an Isser D'Oraisa, then how do we know Davar Avid is mutter? That's also Masrana Kaz Chacham, the ability to say what is the malacha, which is Asr, on your on Chol HaMoed. That's Asr of Davar Avid is not included in that Isser. Thing that you'll financial loss, something will create a major financial loss for you. On Yontif, that will not be Asr Midaraisa. They have the ability to establish what that is. So maybe over here, there's a similar concept to that. Or we could just assume that certain things, that since you can't use it anymore, it doesn't matter why, I can't use it. The Rabbanan told me I can't use it, but I can't use it now. So therefore, it has a chalos and a level of doraisa that I can't use it. Not necessarily din of masr nakaz v'chamim, but just a different in nature how this is working. Okay, fascinating dion over here between Rabbi Meir and the Rabbi Yehuda. Now the Gemara continues. Asa lebehima dofen l'sukkah. So now just another machlokas over here. If someone used an animal as a wolf of sukkah, Rabbi Meir says that it's not going to be kasher for sukkah. Rabbi Yehuda says that it is kasher. Shaya Rabbi Meir Omer. Rabbi Meir used to say kol davar sheish baruah chaim, anything that is alive, enosin also lo dofen l'sukkah. We do not use it for a wolf of sukkah. Lechi l'mavo. You can't use it as a lechi. For a mavoi, you're not able to use it as your side post to carry with regards to Hilchos Shabbos. We mentioned mavoi like 20 times in the last week, but I'll mention it again. Mavoi, three walls, the midaraisa, you're allowed to carry there, midaraban, you're not allowed to carry there. The Chachamim said that you have to make a heker in order for you to carry, also shoot for mavos. You have to be able to make the bread together with everybody. So here, what's going on with the mavoi is that you're not allowed to use them. This animal is not valid to be a halachic mechitza, a halachic mechitza for you to use to carry in your mavoi. Below pasin labiros. Oh, this is bored for the wells. This is a little bit more. We haven't mentioned this in a while. The pasin labiros is that if you have wells that are owned rishus because they're 10 tefachim deep and 4 tefachim wide, so that well is a rishus a yachid. So midoreisa, it's going to be usher to draw water from the well into a rishus harabim because that would be hotzah. So this was major issue when the time would be the aliyah l'regel. So the mission airman tells us that to avoid this, so then it's to avoid it really midoreisa, you'd be allowed to carry there. L'chorim midoraisa, you would be allowed to carry there. We'll say that you're not. L'chorim midoraisa, you would, because this is a special halacha called dumadin, the double boards, right? The L-shaped boards on four angles, that is going to be kasher to carry with them. So that's the, that you're not allowed to use the animals for that purpose. Below golel akever, you can't use it for machlokas. What is a golel? Big machlokas. Rashi tells us throughout Shas. So here also those arichos over here. Rashi mentions that it's just the aron, the casket for the mace. So that's what Rashi's opinion is. Tosfos and other places bring raya for the fact that behemoth can't be. That's a shiloh over here. So mishum Rabbi Yosi Aglili, Am Rabbi Yosi Aglili, they say af in kosin alav gitei nashim. We also can't write on a living animal a get. So the question is, my time, what's the reason Rabbi Meir says that you can, you're not allowed to use an animal? So the question is, shema tamus. You can't use it for an animal because you're afraid that the animal is going to die. If the animal dies, it's going to fall down. It's going to fall down. It's going to be less than 10 tefachim tall. So apparently, in the case of mavoi, also we're afraid that it's going to fall down, and then the mavoi is going to fall down. It's going to be less than the shear, and therefore you're not allowed to carry there. We're afraid that the animal is going to die. Rabbi Zera Amar Shema Tivrach. Rabbi Zera says the concern of Rabbi Meir is that it might run away. Apparently, it's going to run away, and then you're not going to have any wool at all. So the Gemara says Bifil Kasher when it comes to an elephant. When an elephant is tied down, kuliyama lo pligi. Both Abaye and Rabbi pick an elephant because it's really tall. So Abaye and Rabbi would agree that a sukkah is going to be kosher according to Rabbi Meir, because why? It's tied down, so it's not going to run away. And if it dies, what's going to happen? Says the Gemara, it falls down when elephants are massive. And elephants are, I just saw it, I was just at the zoo yesterday, Mamash, made a bracha on the, as a shayla. Do you make a bracha? Not going to that, on the elephant, but the, an elephant, they said, is, what is it? It's like 4 meters or something like that, so around the 8 feet, something like that. Tall, very, very tall, the elephants are, maybe 5, 7 meters, I forgot the number, but they're very tall. So when they fall down, certainly more than 10 tefachim, it's still going to be 2 or 3 feet when an elephant falls down, if it dies. So that, Yesh Menevah Sassar, so definitely it's going to have 10 tefachim. When do Rabbi Meir, when do we have chlokes within the shita of Rabbi Meir? How to understand Rabbi Meir? When do we have a nafkamina? It tells us bothered by this lashon. When do we ever say it like this? Like kuli alma lo pligi. That's not. We just whenever the Gemara has a discussion about a machlokes about a tana, and then wants to know what's the difference. The Gemara will just say my benaya. What's the halachic difference between the two of them? The Gemara doesn't just mention kuli alma lo pligi both Rabbi Zera and Rabbi Meir. There's a weird, strange lashon. Tells us just pointing out that this is a strange lashon over here. But either way, that's what's going on. So the Gemara says ki pligi. When they are going to appeal, Shaino Kutcher, Lamanda Marsheva Tamos, when it's not, when you don't tie down the animal, if you don't tie down the elephant, if you're not tying the animal, Lamanda Marsheva Tamos, if you're afraid it'll die, look, Hashem, there, you don't have to worry about it. Lamanda Amar Xer Sheva Tibrach, but according to Bezerra, it says that, that it's possible because it might run away, Hashira, the elephant also could run away. So, that would also be possible. That's enough community between the two of them. We're asking, wait a second though, Lamanda Amnar Xer Sheva Tamos, according to Abaye, who says that Rabbi Meir's whole reasoning is that it might die, Necho Sheva Tibrach, why don't we also be concerned that it's going to be running away, as Tosos point out. If a bias shita is a mayor's concerned about something that's a very remote possibility of happening, so then Rimeir would certainly say that something that's much more likely, which is the animal running away, than the animal actually dying, so for sure you should be choshesh that the animal might run away. So the Gemara says you have to say the following, appeal she'ino kosher. So with regards to an animal that's not tied down, an elephant that's not tied down, kuli alma lo pligi. Both Abaye and Rabbi Zera are going to agree that Rabbi Meir would agree that it's possible. Ki pligi, when do they argue behema kshur, when the animal is of a normal side which is tied down. Leman damar gzera shema tamos, according to Abaye says it might die, so then we're talking about not an elephant. Chayshidim are afraid that the animal will die, and then it's going to collapse, and it's going to be less than 10 tefachim. It's about a normal small animal, let's say a dog or something else, which if it dies, it for sure is going to be less than 10 tefachim tall. Leman damar gzera shema tibra, however, according to Rabbi Zera, who says that Rabbi Meir says that it's possible with regards to the animal which is alive, that's going to be a problem. Chayshidim is not going to be afraid over here because it's all about running away. It's much more less of a remote possibility that it might die. He's not afraid it's going to die. Rav Meir is not even afraid that it's going to die. So we're asked the Lamad Amar Gzira Shema Tivrach, but according to Rabbi Zera, says that the animal might run away. Nechosh Shema Tivrach. Why not? Maybe it also should be that it might not die. To which the Gemara answers what we just said. Misa Lo Shchicha. How often is it that we're going to assume within the day that you're, the few days that you're using it, that the animal is going to die? That's very uncommon. So Rabbi Meir is not going to be gozer in that case, even according to Rabbi Zera. So the Gemara says, now just another point though. Va'ika Ravcha Debene Bene. But isn't there an empty space between the legs of the animal? In which case, even if it's standing straight, if it's not going to be a valid part of the lachik mechitza. If you have more than 3 tefachim space between the bottom of the wall and the mechitza you're using, then the mechitza is possible. So there's not going to be a kosher sukkah. So how is it that the animal is allowed to be used? There's a space between its legs. My answer is, Davile behutza udafna. You made an animal by using it, by using the wall, the legs of the branches of the wall, and you put tree branches over there. But Dilma Rava, maybe the animal is going to bend down. It's going to crouch down. In which case, it'll be less than 10 tefachim. Demil sebalshlem leil. The Bryce is referring to the animal is held up with. It has like these type of hooks or something that are holding it up from above. Therefore, it's not able to bend down. So, where's the mind of Magzira Shem and Tamos Nami? So, but according to the one who says that it might die, if that's what it's talking about, ha mesicha beashlem leil. That it's held up from these cords, these things above it. So then, obviously, it's not going. So even if it will die, it's not going to collapse because it's being held up. So it's a valid wall. So the Gemara says, "Zimnin demukin pachas mishlosha samlaschach." Maybe there are times that the animal is at the top where it's within 3 tefachim deschach. We're talking about a sukkah that's the exact size of a minimum 10 tefachim. So therefore, you put the gap at the top of the animal and the bottom is exactly less than 3 tefachim. So then the animal is going to die. V'kevan demaisik yotze. Once it dies, it's going to shrink a little bit, even just a tefach. If it shrinks even just a few inches, then it's going to be more than 3 tefachim space, and therefore your sukkah is going to be pasul v'lavadite, and you're not going to recognize it. Therefore, you can't have love it anymore. And Rashi points out, therefore, you're going to live in the sukkah which is pasul, and you're not going to realize that this is you're fulfilling your obligation. The Achron just pointed out that according to Rashi, Rav Meir said that animal might die in Yantiv when the owner is not going to be allowed to fix your sukkah, because that's a binyan on Yantiv and on Shabbat, which is an Isra D'Raisa. Here Rashi says the whole problem is that the issue is over here that you might not notice it's a sukkah. Why does Rashi change the problem? Just say that you'll notice and you're not able to repair it because it's Yantiv or Shabbos. So the Rashash answers, Rashash just says that when it comes to the previous cases, you can't answer that you won't notice. Clearly, you're going to notice if it dies and falls down. So you'll notice that. So you can't answer that you won't notice. But here, it's a better answer to say you won't notice because you're not going to notice this, or that there's a mitzvah d'oraisa that you're missing out on, and that's more shchiach. That's what the Rashash wants to taina. Just one more ha'ara that we mentioned. This whole thing was talking about using an elephant as a wall of a sukkah. So the noted Yehuda, based on this Gemara, asks a question on the Magen Avraham. The Magen Avraham learns out from Hilchos Shofar to All Halachas Kol Torah Kula that there's a concept of mina moser beficha. You can only use kosher animals for mitzvos. You can only use kosher animals to make the hides of, let's say, tefillah, and that the Gemara Joseph Beferish and other halachas. The Magen Avraham multiplied to Kol Torah Kula. Now the Yehuda asks a kasha from our Gemara right here. It says in our Gemara very clearly, you can use the walls of a sukkah as an elephant, had it not been for the issue, whatever, it's tied down and it'll be more than 10 tefachim. We agreed, everyone agreed that it would be kosher. So how could the Magen Avraham say that every mitzvah has to have kosher animals to it? Over here you have a mitzvah which is not using a kosher animal, which is using an elephant. So there's two different answers I saw brought down. One, the Achronim bring down, I think it's the name of Karen LeDavid. He says that what we've been saying throughout Masechet Sukkah, that the walls of Sukkah are not fundamentally part of the actual Chefta Mitzvah. And that was the whole kasha in the Rambam. How could the Rambam say you're not nana even from the walls of a Sukkah? That was a kasha on him, because the walls of Sukkah are not fundamentally part of the Al-Shem Schach Nikr Sukkah, the Schach Zekr point. The Sukkah are just a Hechitim Sukkah to have a kasher Sukkah, but it's not, you can't call them the Chefta Shal Mitzvah. The Karen LeDavid wants to get an answer like that. Maybe they're not really part of the Etzem Mitzvah Sukkah. You can't use it for Schach. You're not be able to use the elephant hides for the Schach, but you can use it for your walls of the Sukkah. The Nodi Huda wants to give a different answer. He says, now, when do we say Moser Reficha? When did the Magen Avraham say the Moser Reficha? Only when the mitzvah is done with the actual animal itself. When, like a shofar, we're using an animal horn, so it has to be a kosher horn. When you're using the tefillin hides, the right tefillin, that you're actually using the hides of the animal itself. But here, where the mitzvah itself is not done by a behema, it's not done by an animal, it's done by even eitzim v'avanim, right? Even sticks and stones, anything else could be used for your wall. So then, says the Nodi Huda, the halacha of mina moser reficha would not apply. Only when you have to use an animal, and that animal has to be used for the shofar, for another mitzvah we're discussing, then it has to be a kosher animal. But when it doesn't specifically have to be an animal, you don't have to use a kosher animal. That's the Nodi Huda's teretz, his own question. Okay, now we're up to the machlokas between Abaye and Rabbi Yehuda. Explain the machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir as whether or not we would be choshesh in lemisa. So now the Gemara wants to ask, Miyamar Abaye Rabbi Meir chayesh lemisa. Is it really true that Abaye said that Rabbi Meir is concerned for the possibility of the animal dying? Rabbi Yehuda lo chayesh, whereas Rabbi Yehuda is not choshesh for this potential? That's not. Don't we learn in a Mishnah, which is seemingly going to be a steer, this Gemara in Gittin talks about the following: Bas Yisrael shenisas lekohen. If you have a daughter of a non kohen, she's a Yisrael, and she's married to a Kohen. So she's eating Truma Midoraisa, because, well, Midoraisa even from Erison, but we wait till Nisuin, that after the 12 months, till they're fully married, that's a Gezira Darbanan, right? So we learn from there that the woman is allowed, who gets married to a Kohen, is allowed to eat Truma Midoraisa. So she's allowed to eat Truma. So, but however, if Chaz Hashem, her husband, dies, and she doesn't have children from him, so then halach b'ilam b'dasayam, and they don't have children yet. Ochelas b'trumat chazkas shuz kaim. You're allowed to assume, if he would theoretically have died, she's not allowed to eat truma anymore. But she can assume she's allowed to eat truma on the assumption that her husband is still alive. That's the chazaka that he's still alive. Rami Allah and the Gemara. And the Gemara, we had a Mishnah, another Mishnah though. The Mishnah in Gittin said also, Hareza Gitech, but the Mishnah in Gittin said, if a husband gives a wife a divorce and he makes it tonight, he makes it, this is your get. Sha'achas kodem misasi. I wanted to, one little, sha'achas literally means an hour, but usually it just means like a second. A second before I die, I want, or just say an hour, right now, this get to kick in. Now, why would a guy want to give his wife a get that should kick in like a 10 minutes or an hour before he dies? So Rashi points out, because they didn't have children, and they're afraid they're not going to have children, and he doesn't want her to deal with Yibum and Chalitza. A lot of times in Europe, the Rosh Hashanah used to say, you have these rotten husbands, the rotten brothers, that they would demand money from if their husbands died childless, they would demand money from the Almana to do a Chalitza with her. So they would keep her Aguna. A terrible thing. So apparently you have also terrible people. This husband didn't want to have her to deal with him. So he made it tonight that the get should be Chal the moment before they die. So if she's divorced, she doesn't need to do Yibum or Chalitza anymore. So that's why he made this stipulation. So it says the Breisa, Asura la'echol b'truma miyad. She's also from eating truma immediately upon receiving this get al tanai, this condition of the tanai, because we're afraid that he might die at any moment. And since he might die at any moment, then it comes out, l'mafreya, retroactively, that really before, when she was eating that truma, retroactively, she was eating truma, be'isr. So she's no longer allowed to have truma, according to this braisa. So this apparently the Mishnah is not concerned with the issue of the husband dying, yet this braisa is concerned. So Abaye answered this stira between the Mishnah and braisa. And Abaye, lokasha, there's no stira between the Mishnah and braisa. It's two different tanaim. Harav Meir delochai shlamisa. This Mishnah is going to be the shita of Rav Meir, who's not concerned with the possibility of death. That's why you're allowed to eat the truma if the husband goes away. The Harav Bim Yehuda dechai shlamisa. Whereas the braisa is the shita of Rabbi Yehuda, who is concerned with the possibility of death. And so therefore, that is the stira. That's the answer for this stira. The stira is someone who purchases wine from the Kutim. Who are these Kutim? We've mentioned them a few times. The Kutim were people who came from a foreign land of Kutz. And they were from, King Ashur brought them to Eretz Yisrael. He used to take all these populations and then disperse them all over the world. That's how they stopped them. That's how the 10 lost tribes became lost, because they dispersed them and they never came back. So they came and they converted to Judaism when they were being attacked by animals. It's already in Pesukim and Malachim talk about this. So there's a big machlokas throughout the Tanaim. What was it? Were they Geri Arayos or Geri Emes? Were they doing it just because of the lions and therefore they're not kosher, or Geri Emes? They really were kosher. And it ends up being that later they found that they were doing Avodah Zarah, so they said they're all viewed like mamash like goyim. And that's the later half. So there's always a shaila whenever we discuss Mishnayos and Braisos, what stage are we discussing over here? Because Tosfos already point out that the fact that you're allowed, why are you allowed to buy their wine? Normally wine of a goy is stam yenam. So Tosfos gave a few suggestions. Maybe it was before they were gozer on stam yenam, so therefore when they were gozer on stam yenam, yeah, echanami, the kutim would be included. Or maybe that when they were gozer on stam yenam, they weren't gozer on the kutim, because the kutim, they weren't over the avodah zara. They didn't necessarily practice Yiddishkeit the way they should have, but they weren't over the avodah zara. So Tosfos says that's why it was an issue of buying the wine from them. Okay, well, either way, so you're having your wine, but you're afraid they don't take off trumas and maestras. So what are you supposed to do? So you don't have Tahara Kalim according to Rashi, or maybe we're talking about right before Shabbos, and therefore it's usher to take off Shumas Maestros on Shabbos. So then the Tosfos is a whole Arichos over here that it has to be only been a Shmashis. You can only do this during twilight. You're not allowed to do this on Shabbos itself. That's a Shaila. But so what do you do? Omer, so you say the following declaration. Shnei Lugin Shani Asi Lafrish. You could say that the two Lugin that I will eventually separate from these 100 Lugin, we know that Truma is 1/40th, 1/50th, 1/60th. So this is the middle amount you're taking, 1/50th, that's 2%. So you're giving two Lugin of wine, Hare and Truma. Those are going to be Truma, 2% given to wine. So of that, so then you're left with 98 lugin of wine. So then Asara Masarishans, and you take off 10 from there. So we're just rounding up. There's really, it should be 9.8 that you're taking off from there. You don't have to do the actual number. So you could do, we're rounding off to 10. That is going to be Masarishan. And then Tisha Masarishani. So then when you're left after this, the Masarishan is given to the Levi. That Masarishan is given to the Levi. Then Masarishani is given, it depends, on years 1, 2, 4, 5, you give it to the poor person. And years 3 and 6, you give it to, years 3 and 6, you did it at Maaser Sheni, you bring it to Yerushalayim, and you eat it in Yerushalayim. That's another 10% taken after you've taken off the first man. So again, you took off your 2 Lugin, you have 98. Then you take off 10, you're left with 88. Then you have to take off again, let's round, the Gemara is going to round up. You're going to round up to Tisha. You round up to 9, it's really 8.8, you round up to 9, and then you're left with the rest of your wine. And then it's good. Mechel, and then you're allowed to, and you remove the, you do chilul, you remove this the kedusha that is on the Maaser Sheni, and you transfer it onto the coins. Veshos miyan, you're allowed to drink the wine immediately, as long as you're careful to leave the remaining wine in the container, and then you're allowed to use it. Why are you allowed to use that? Because that's to be the concept of brera. Brera is retroactively declaring something okay, and normally by dinim d'oraisa or machmer on brera, this is derabanan. So by derabanan, we allow brera to retroactively clarify what your kavana was. Dear Rabbi Meir, this is all the words of Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon, Olsen, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon, they us are doing that. So they're afraid that we're afraid. What are they afraid of? Rashi says, "Gzeira shem yivaka nod." We're afraid that the wineskin is going to split and break, and therefore it's going to come lost. And you're never, and retroactively, you never came. They came out. You've had tavel. You're not truma meiser. So the machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir over here is Rabbi Meir is not choshesh for this possibility of the gzeira shem yivaka nod, whereas Rabbi Yehuda is. So the chora, this is a stira over here. Rabbi Yehuda, who's concerned for the wineskin splitting, should certainly be concerned for the possibility of death, which is more likely than the wineskin splitting, which apparently Rashi says it's so far fetched. Never going to happen. As opposed to Rabbi Meir, who's not concerned with the wine splitting, he might similarly not be concerned with the gzera of Shem Yomos. So what do we see from here? That Abaye himself assumes Rabbi Meir is the Tana who is not afraid of Choshen Lemisa, where Rabbi Yehuda is the Tana who does. So therefore, Abaye seems to be associated with himself within Rabbi Meir. So how is he going to answer what's going on with Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir over here? So the Gemara says, Ipuch. So really, you have to fix, reverse Abaye, what he said in the Mishnah and Gittin, and the Braisa with regards to the one who left with the woman's get, to answer Rabbi Meir, Chayesh Lemisa. Rabbi Meir is the one who's concerned about the death. He's the author of the Braisa. Rabbi Yehuda, Lo Chayesh Lemisa, whereas Rabbi Yehuda is not the author of, he's the author of not the Braisa, rather that of the Mishnah. And then Rashi points out that the Gemara would be answering that Abaye's answer with the Mishnah and Gittin with the Braisa was really a mistake. What Abaye really meant to answer was that the Braisa is Rabbi Meir, who's concerned about the Choshesh Lemisa, whereas the Mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda, who's not going to be concerned with the possibility of death. Abaye is referring to not to the dispute of Meir and Yehuda with regards to the wine bought from the Kutin, but rather with the Machlokas with regards to using an animal for the wall of the Sukkah. So the Gemara says, the son, as we learn in a Braisa, also, levehima dofe la sukkah. If one used an animal as a wall for a sukkah, Meir posts, or Meir says that it's pasul to sukkah, Rebuda Machshir, Rebuda says that it's kasher, and Abaye that explained above, or Meir is going to say that out of the concern the animal might die, Rebbe Yehuda is going to say that it's really kasher, therefore Abaye is answering in the Mishnah, and the Braisa and Gittin is going to be that of Rebbe Meir, and Rebbe Yehuda is going to be the use of the animal as a wall of the sukkah. Okay, we'll pick up with Ezra Shem with kasher, Meir, and tomorrow's daf, Ezra Shem.